The rest of us, we will be in our series. In fact, we are going to be finishing our series this morning. It's been good. It's actually been a great few months in this. In our series, Changed into His Image. I don't know about you, but even for me, just teaching it has been a huge help to get my mind right. It's all of this is a battle in our mind, just to begin with, right? And we need to start changing how we think and aligning our thinking with God's way. That's how we are changed into the image of Christ. And as we give our mind, our heart to Him, as we surrender our thinking, our emotions, our desires, we surrender those all to Christ, that's all we need to do, because then that's when God begins to change us into the image of His Son. We're not going to change ourselves into the image of His Son. It needs to be a process of trusting God with that. So we dealt with that, as you know. And for the last few weeks, we've been really pinpointing specific areas of our life, which again, we know at this point, we need to be like Christ. We need to be in the image of Christ. And we've even maybe made those decisions, and we maybe have even surrendered these things to Him. But then things happen in our life that do have a tendency to derail us, don't they? To derail us from that walk, that, remember we talked about that step-by-step sanctification and growth. It can become derailed by certain things. We talked about depression, we talked about hurts, we talked about anger, and today we're going to talk about worry, anxiety. Big problem in our day. By the way, not a new thing. It's always been a problem. And so let's deal with it. Amen. I'm excited to see what the Bible says about that. So go ahead and find in your Bibles Philippians chapter 4. And whenever you find that, go ahead and stand. And we will begin there. Philippians chapter 4. There, say amen. Most of us are there. We'll start in verse number 6, where Paul says this: be careful for nothing. Pretty direct, straightforward statement. You know what careful means? It means anxious, full of care. He doesn't say don't care about anything. He means don't be full of care. Don't be anxious for anything. Nothing. And then you might say, is that possible? It's possible. In fact, it's what God wants for us. Be careful for nothing. Well, what do you do instead? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If you do those things, verse 7, and the peace of God, that's the opposite of anxiety, isn't it? The peace, inner calm. Peace of God, that which passeth all understanding. Those two things. That peace only comes from God, and that peace passes understanding. That means you're not going to talk your way into this. Are you following me? It's not like you're going to, oh, it's going to be okay because all of these rational things. No, it's going to be okay because God, and that's it. You see? We'll talk about it. So that peace that passes all understanding, it shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So let's pray, and we'll talk through the basics for worried believers. God, thank you so much for your word and how relevant it is. Lord, you know the struggles that we face through our life of worry and anxiety. What ifs, if onlys. And Lord, concerned really about the future. You know how we are with these things. Help us, Lord, to deal with these things biblically, to remove what we think about it and what the world says about it out of our thinking and just focus on what you say. And help us, Lord, because that's where it's going to come. Peace comes from you. Help us to understand your word today and surrender to it. For that in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, please. Thank you. So let's jump right into our lesson. Worry has become a way of life for many living in the United States. What that means is they worry and worry and worry. They call it anxiety because it sounds more medical. And honestly, that's what I mean. And so they have this worry, they have this anxiety, and they've just, many in our society have just decided, this is me. I worry. I have anxiety, as if it's a label that we can't shake. It's just a medical diagnosis. This is part of who I am. I worry. I have anxiety. And they just choose to live with it. And that stinks. That stinks. Because it doesn't have to be that way. And unfortunately, that's true of even believers. It's easy for us to worry about the economy, the government, family issues, work-related problems, church issues, malfunctioning vehicles, health matters, on and on. Anything that happens in our life, we could come up with a problem that could happen with that thing. And that's where it all starts, right? We worry about it with anxiety. Therefore, no, back. God knew. God knew that we would struggle. God knew that. And God knows that we do struggle. But before he had the Apostle Paul pen these words and others that we're going to look at, God knew we would struggle. And so, therefore, he has given us direction in his word so that we might have peace in place of worry. You cannot, listen, you cannot be worried and at peace at the same time. It's impossible. Worry causes unrest. That's what anxiety is. It's inner unrest. It's inner stress. It's the absence of peace. And we know this, that God has commanded us over and over to be at peace and told us how that we can be at peace. And so what we need is that inner rest, peace. And God's given us the tools. He's given us everything we need so that we can be in that place of rest. So in this lesson, we will consider the sources of our worry and then the biblical means to have victory. That's the blank, to have victory over worry. You can have victory. You know, as people struggle with this and they just come to that place and they almost become offended if you say, you know, you don't have to be anxious. And they're like, no, I do. And it comes off mean. And this isn't a condemnation, like you're worried and you shouldn't be and you're a bad person because you are. No, but at the same time, if we just say, you're right, you just worry, nothing you can do. Well, how does that help anything? Right? If we admit to ourselves that it does not have to be this way, then we can begin to change. You see? We can begin it starts with swallowing the pill that we don't have to be anxious. And it's not God's plan for us. And that God, listen, and God can help us overcome this. We need to believe that first. And there is victory that we can have over worry. We have to believe that from the start. And then see what God has to say. So, well, first we're going to talk about what really causes our worry. Number one, sometimes we worry because we have the wrong concerns and priorities. That's the two blanks, concerns and priorities. Sometimes. Letter A, our worries always reveal our priorities. If you're worrying about it, what that says is that is important to you, right? If it wasn't important to you, you wouldn't worry about it. In fact, we say things like, don't worry about it. When we say that, that means not a big deal to me. And so when we worry, it reveals our priority, doesn't it? The things we worry about are the things that are the most important to us. Sometimes, Some worry about whether or not their clothes will be accepted, according to modern trends. Now, you might be laughing at that. That is ridiculous. What I'm worrying about is real, and that's not real. I get it. But it's the same. In our teenagers, it's real to them sometimes. Like, I have to be in the in crowd, and I have got to wear the most trendy things. Why? Well, if we boiled it down, it's because they feel like they need to be accepted with their Can I say idiot friends? So the ones that are steering them the wrong way, they say they should wear this, and so they need to wear this. And then the whole time they say, well, I'm independent. I don't care what mom and dad say. I do whatever I want. No, you don't. You're worried about what they want. You're worried about your friends and what they want, the ones who are taking you down a bad path. And they say, I have to have this. And it's a legitimate, in their mind, a legitimate worry. I've got to fit in with those people. Goobers maybe is a better word for them. Goobers. Okay? But it's so shallow, and for us, we see that as shallow. But it doesn't matter. Can I tell you this? It doesn't matter if it's important or not. It matters is if you've made it important or not. That if you've made it important, it causes worry. And here's where I'm trying to help you. Most of the time, we don't need to make it as important as it is. I'm just going to jump to part of the conclusion here. But the only thing that matters never changes. You see? Are you following? We'll get there. Okay. Some worry about having sufficient funds to pay their debts. Now, this is a real life struggle. This is things that people really worry about and feel justified in worrying about it. And they can't imagine life without certain amenities. What if I can't pay the mortgage? What if the lights get turned off? What if this or that? And they worry. And on the list can go, obviously. But here's the point, is we never worry about things that are not important to us. Always. That's always the case. Letter B. Make a list of your worries and ask yourself, are the things I worry about priorities to God? Now that action, most people don't do. Most people struggle, and they worry, and they're anxious. They don't know why. They don't ever try to figure it out. They just sit there and say, I'm just feeling anxious. No, you never just feel anxious. There's always something that you're worried about that causes the anxiety. We need to stop. We're very good at tracking our feelings, tracking our emotions. This is how I feel. This is the emotion I have. But very seldom do people decide to say this. What am I thinking about that's causing me to feel this way? That's where it really starts, because it's always in the mind. Our bodies, our mind, will, emotion. We said this here before. Mind, will, emotion. The first thing, everything is first evaluated by the mind, and we take in information and we start to think about with our mind information that comes our way. All my friends are wearing these clothes. This is information. And so then we take information, that's the mind, and then we make some decisions, that's the will, that's the volition part, right? So based upon the information, we make some decisions, and we decide, I need those clothes, right? Because we've decided I need to fit in, you see? And there's decisions that we're making with our will, and we've decided some things, and then based upon those decisions causes the emotion, anxiety. But if you take in those information and say, these guys are wearing these clothes, and we make a decision, well, I don't really care what they're wearing because they're on the wrong path anyway. I don't want to look like them. Different emotion. I don't care. You see? But every emotion leads back to a decision, and that leads back to information. Are we following? So we need to decide, whatever feeling we're having, we first need to decide, what am I thinking about? This is what matters. It cannot be solved until we find out, what am I thinking about that makes me feel this way first? And so make a list of your worries. What are you worried about? No. What are you anxious? I'm anxious. Okay, stop. Calm yourself. What is it that you're thinking about right now that's causing you to be anxious? Write them down. Write down your worries. Write down your worries. So that's the first step. Letter C. To be free from worry, that's the blank. To be free from worry, the first thing we must do is align our priorities with God. And so we make that list of worries. And by the way, the blank is free. To be free from worry. We make our list of worries, and then each worry that we have, we say things. Like, we have to ask this question. Is this thing I'm worrying about a priority to God? That's the first question. Should I even be worried about this? Should this be important to me? Should I care if I fit in with the crowd? On goes. But we need to say, first question is, Is this something that I should have made so important to me that if I don't have it, I'm worried? Are you following? So line up your priorities. Now, if you say, I'm living in big time sin and I'm worried about it, that's a priority to God. So let's not take that off the list. Are you following? Or I need to be a good husband to my wife and father to my children. I feel like I'm not. Okay, leave that on the list. But if you say, I don't have the right clothes, like a teenager, or my lost deadbeat boyfriend left me, good. Bye, you know? But the things that are priorities to God, let's leave on the list. The others, we just have to decide, maybe I didn't really need that like I thought I did. Are you following? Number one, what's your priority? Number two, sometimes we worry because we handle our legitimate concerns the wrong way. So you had that list and you've crossed off the things that really you shouldn't be worried about and give those things to God. The next thing is we have some then left over legitimate concerns. Legitimate concerns. And then we handle those the wrong way. If the things we worry about are priorities to God, He has already instructed us how to go about dealing with them. You see? So this is the good news. If there's something in your life that isn't where God wants it to be, that's a problem. But it's not something we need to worry about because God's given us a solution, hasn't He, to make those things right. A parent may be worried about their wayward child. Proverbs gives instruction on how to respond to someone who has chosen the way of foolishness instead of wisdom. Now, here's the thing. You can't worry about whether they're going to do right or not because you can't control their action. You can make your kids do things, and in some ways we ought to, but you can't make them in their heart choose to follow God or not. But God has given us instructions on what our responsibility is. You see? If you have a wayward child, God's told us in Proverbs and throughout the Word of God what we ought to do. And so what you do is what God told you to do, and then you leave the results to Him. You see? And then the worry is gone because now it's in God's hands. You do what God tells you to do about this, and then you give the rest to God. You see? Yeah. Someone may be worried about their finances. Proverbs also gives wisdom about that, how to handle finances. A person may be worried about being single. Paul gives instructions about singleness. And so whatever the problems that we have in our life that are legitimate, we go to the Word of God and find out what He says about it. Letter B, there is a Bible way. That's the blank. Two blanks. There is a Bible way to handle any concern that is a concern to God. See, the problem may be that we don't know what God has said. Can I be honest? Oftentimes, that's not the problem. Oftentimes, we know what God says, we just don't want to believe it or accept it. But there are also a lot of times where we just really don't know. And that's why God's given you a pastor. That's why God's given you other godly individuals in your life that know the Word of God, so we can show you what God says. Not what I think. What I think doesn't matter. We're going to see what God thinks about it. And then when you know what God says, now you can make a decision whether or not to follow what God says or not. Okay? All right. So sometimes we struggle because we have the wrong priorities. Sometimes we struggle because we're dealing with legitimate problems our way instead of God's or the world's way. Number three, sometimes we worry because we depend on the wrong person. We depend on the wrong person. The one we turn to when we have a problem is the one we trust most to help. Always. If you call your friend every day to rehash your problems, you reveal that you believe your friend can help in some way. Whether that's just to vent and get it off your chest, whether that's you think they have the answers. Whoever you go to, that's who you trust to help you with this problem. If you keep your thoughts to yourself and constantly repeat them in your mind, you reveal that you believe that you have the answer to your problem. You just keep thinking about it long enough, you'll figure it out. Most of the time, that's not true. On the other hand, if you discuss your concerns with God, that's the blank, discuss your concerns with God, and seek his thoughts about your concern, you reveal that you believe he has the solution for your problem. You see? By the way, often we do a combination of these. We'll go to our friend, we'll mull it over, then we go to God. And whatever one you choose, that reveals who you think really has the answer to this thing. Are you following? We need to decide that God's way to handle this is always best because we know who God is, you see. We know who God is. And we follow his way and trust that he's going to help us through. Letter B. So ask yourself, to whom do I talk most about my problem? And to whom do I listen most for advice about my problem? And the answer then will reveal who you trust. That's the point, who you trust. So this is where worry comes. Something happens in our life. We don't know how it's going to work out. And this is the process. So number four, then, how do I start changing? We read Philippians 4. 6-9. If you turn to Colossians, go. Oh, no, you're not. You're not in Colossians. Oh, yeah. Go to Philippians 4 if you're not there. And he gives us, Paul does, a step-by-step list about how to handle these things. Number one, letter A. Step one is pray right. The blank is pray right. Let's go ahead and read the verses. He says this, be careful for nothing. Again, we ought not worry about really anything. Instead of worrying about it, here's what we ought to do. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So Paul tells us to pray about everything that concerns us. If you're worried about it, the first step really needs to be prayer. And he tells us to begin your prayer with thanksgiving. You know, sometimes we become so overwhelmed by what we don't have or what we're concerned that we might not have that we forget all of that we already do have. And by the way, it would help you to remember what you deserve too. And God's already given you way more than you deserve, so let's thank him about that. That's a good place to start. I think it's VeggieTales, the great theologian, who said, a thankful heart is a happy heart. And so if you're being thankful and you're focusing on what God has given you already, you're reminding yourself, aren't you, of the goodness of God, who you can trust, who has already done much for you. So let's thank him first. Then God intends every hardship to grow us into Christ's likeness. If we do not have this growth in mind, we will not be thankful for current struggles. Now, it says here, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And so that means we ought to be thankful for what he's already done. And if we think back and think about all the things God's already done, and we thank him for those things, then as we are reminded about who God is and what he's done and who he is, how good he is, then there's a sense where he's telling us here to even be thankful for this situation. Because God's going to use it somehow. How do you know that? Because we know who God is. And so God, whatever you're doing, I'm not thankful I'm struggling necessarily, but I am thankful for what you're going to do. Thanks in advance. You see? A level of trust. God, I trust you with this. I'm thankful that you are going to see me through this. And everything, I think it's in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4, where he says, or 5, where he says, in everything give thanks. Not necessarily for everything give thanks, but in everything give thanks, because you know that God's going to use everything for his glory and for his purposes and for your own good. He's always at work in our life. And so just remember that. And so a believer who is grateful will find an indescribable peace when he or she petitions God. Okay? And so, trust him with this thing. Thank him for who he is and what he's about to do. That's a big help. So pray right. Step two, think right. Think right. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Anxious thoughts often include other unbiblical attitudes and thoughts. And so we need to make sure that we're thinking right. Think on things that are true. Hey, truth is your friend. What if this happens? It's not a truth. We don't know that. But there is a truth that says God knows what's going to happen. And that's true. And we can bank on that. We need to focus less on things that are possibilities and more on the certainties of life, which is who God is and His character. And that He's in, listen, we have a God, we serve a God who loves you, we serve a God who cares about you, and we serve a God who's in control, we serve a God who knows the future. These are things that don't change. These are truths. They're absolute truths, and I don't care what our world calls truth today. These things don't change. And so the things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, lovely, good report. David, in the Psalms, repeatedly turns his thoughts to God's nature and His promises. There's a lot of Psalms where you find David anxious at the beginning. And he starts off saying, I have this going on, my enemies are chasing me, and all of these things, and you know, I'm filled with tears, and all these anxious thoughts. And then what you see is somewhere around like the fourth or fifth verse, there's a turn, and he says, but I'll remember who you are, right? And he starts to stop thinking about all of the potential problems, and he turns his focus really where it belongs, which is to God. Anxiety, listen, anxiety always happens when we begin to believe something that's not true about God. Always. It's not the circumstance that causes anxiety. It's the circumstance, and then we, because of the circumstance, begin to believe something about God that's not true. And when we believe something about God that's not true, that causes anxiety. Well, what do you mean? Well, we've said this before, but it's the perfect example. But the apostles in the boat, in the Sea of Galilee, in the storm, and they think they're going to die. And Jesus is sleeping, remember? And they go and they shake him and they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They're questioning whether or not Jesus cares about them, aren't they? Their anxiety was not the storm. Their anxiety came as a result of believing something about God that's not true. Because this is happening, I have decided you don't care about me anymore, God. Anxiety. See? Or because this is happening, I don't think you're really in control. Anxiety. Because this is happening, I don't believe you're going to give me everything I need. Anxiety. You see? That's how it works. And we're going to deal with it. It's crazy how this dovetails with this morning's message. But all of our problems of living stem from what we believe about God and what we've chosen to believe. A fantasy God. We start to believe in a fantasy God who's no longer in control, a fantasy God who doesn't care about us, a fantasy God who's up there just like watching us like rats in a maze and just laughing at our situation. That's how we think of God in the hard problems. And when we think of God that way, He's the Creator, He designed us, and when we start to think things about Him that are not true, it causes problems. But just think of this. The storm's happening. What if they responded properly? This is crazy. But Jesus is right here. And He cares. And He's asleep, but He's God, so He knows. He knows. He cares. I don't know what's happening now. He knows what's going on. He cares about me. And He's in complete control of the situation. Imagine how they'd be reacting if they truly believe that Jesus knew what was happening, Jesus cared about them, and he's in complete control. Think about it. Where would they be mentally? Not anxious. Those three truths will help you. God knows. God cares. He's in control. Always. And if that's true, if God is always in control, God always cares, and God always knows, then that means it can't change. God can't always know, but sometimes not know. Like, not this time, you know. God can't always care, but sometimes not care. God can't always be in control, but sometimes not in control. No, we need to focus on who God is. Job went through a lot. Job went through a lot in his life. And when he started to break down, you know why he started to break down? He started to question God. God, why are you doing this to me? God, why have you allowed this? God, why this? God, why that? And they start to question God, and he starts to question God's character, question God's love. And God said, Job, I'm not going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you who. And I'm going to remind you who I am. And he did. And you know what happened after Job remembered who God was? He repented. And he was in peace. You see? We need to know who God is here. And then we need to know what God wants us to do about this. But fundamentally, the peace comes from understanding who it is that is in control of all this. And so we need to start thinking right. Memorize and meditate upon passages that teach us about God's nature and God's promises. Instead of worrying about all the things that could potentially go wrong, let's just meditate on the things that we know are true. Meditate on who God is. And then, the next step is do right. That's the blank. Do right. He says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And so do the things that you've learned. By the way, you can't really learn anything if you don't study or pay attention. And so let's start finding out. Let's labor to find out what God has said. And then we need to act on it. We must think as God thinks and then do right. Oftentimes our anxiety comes from knowing what God has said and choosing not to do it. You see? And if you know what God said and you're not doing it, what that reveals is you don't really trust that His way is right. Yeah, I know what God says, but I think I have a better way to deal with this. You see? And you've not trusted that God's way is best, and rested in His character yet. Rest in who God is. Rest in what He has called you to do, and then do it. Yeah. He says you've learned it and you received it. So you have to be studying God's Word, and then receiving it means you can't be doubting it. That's what faith is, isn't it? Faith is a confidence of something. You're convinced about this. And the Bible says it's substance that things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Meaning, you don't have to hear what God says and see if it's proved out in everybody else's life. God doesn't have to prove Himself to you. If you have faith, faith means He does not have to prove it to you. It's evidence based on things not seen. He's proven who He is. So it's not irrational, because you know who God is. And if you know who God is, that He said it, and you have faith in that, that's enough. You see? You have faith in who God is, and you have faith that God said it, and so you're going to do it. And so we can't really doubt. James said, ask for wisdom, and then he says, but doubting nothing. Because he that doubts is like one who on the wave of the sea going back and forth. We can't try to serve God but not really believe Him. We need to act in faith, conviction that says, I don't care what I think about this, I don't care how I feel about this, I don't care what they say about this, God said it, and I know it's true, and I'm going to go that way. And then you just watch as God removes the removes the anxiety, removes the fear, and starts to work. But it all comes back to trusting Him because of who He is. And so while we're waiting on God to answer your prayer, you might be praying about a specific thing, waiting for an answer, just serve Him. Serve Him by doing what you do know. You can't expect God to reveal what you don't know if you're not even acting on what you do know. And so just oftentimes, that's what I said earlier, oftentimes it's not usually a problem of what you don't know. It's usually a problem of actually trusting God and doing what you do know. And then God, you'll see that God will reveal more. But He's only going to reveal one step at a time. That's how God works. So you just take a step. You know God wants you to do this, take that step. You know God wants you to do this, take that step. And then God will say, oh yeah, and also do that. And you take that step. But we need to act on what we know. And that comes from trusting Him. Faith. And then faith, as James also said, produces action, doesn't it? You cannot say you have faith in this and not act on it. It's not faith. Okay. So, work an honest day's work. Tend to household chores. Take time for interaction with your children. The things that God tells us to do, and we all know it, do that. That's part of the process. So number five. Win the war of worry. You can win the war of worry. We have to start there. We can have victory over this. We can't give up. And we're just defeated by this. And no, God's more powerful than this. We can win. It's God who's going to do it. But we can win the war of worry. But we're going to have to do it God's way. That's the thing. David shares the secret of worry-free living in Psalm 55:22. I love this. You might memorize this verse. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He shall sustain thee. Isn't that what we're worried about usually? That we're going to break because of this? It's going to destroy me? What if this happens, then I'm going to be in a place where I'm broken or whatever. Whatever it is, give it to God. Trust Him. Cast thy burden upon Him, and He will sustain you. Peter rephrases parts of that when he said, casting all your care upon Him. And Peter learned this lesson, didn't he? For He careth for you. He's one of the guys who was like, hey, don't you care about us in this boat? Yeah, he figured it out. Yeah, God does care for you. You can be free from worry if you follow God's plan for peace. So pray right, think right, do right. And I think it really all boils down to this. You just need to believe who God is. Choose to always believe the truth of who God is. Not because of, let's not base what we know about God on our feelings or on our circumstances, but on the truth of the Word of God, which changes not. And if you trust in who God is, God loves you, God cares for you, God will always give you what you need. He's the provider. God is great. God is powerful. God's in control. If you know these things, then we just have to trust Him to do what He does. Give us what we need. We're just going to have to follow Him. Pray right, think right, do right. We're going to take a moment here to pray. Brother Josh is going to play a song of invitation. If there's something in your life where you've allowed what's going on to cause you to believe something about God that's not true, this is the crux of the issue. If you've allowed something in your life to make you believe God isn't good anymore, or make you believe that God's not in control, or make you believe that God doesn't love you, or make you believe that God can't help you, if this is where you are, let's repent like Job did and focus on God again and allow the God of peace to give us that. Go ahead, Brother Josh. You play Song of Invitation and we'll deal with the Lord this morning.